The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Gemara in Masechet Menaches, Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara brings Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. When Meisha went up to receive the Torah, he went up to the heavens. He found that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, was sitting and he was tying crowns onto the letters of the Torah. The letters of the Torah, if you look into the Sefer Torah, you'll see that there are crowns on the letters. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing. Omer Elfonav Ribeni Shalelam, Mi Miakev Al Yotko. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Almighty, why is this necessary? Mashe Kosafto Shato Tzorach La'isi Veda Alehem Ksori. This that you have already written, the Sefer Torah which you have written, it already holds so much wisdom. Must you add to it? You have to add crowns unto the words, which we don't know what their meaning, what the meaning is. And these crowns are to give us additional wisdom. Is this necessary? Omalei, the Almighty answered, Odom echod yesh, she'osi liyesh b'seif kamaderis. There will be a certain individual that will be born after many generations, Akiva ben Yosef Shmo, and his name will be Akiva, the son of Yosef. This was the great Rebbe Akiva. She'osid lidreis al kol kutz v'kutz tilin tilin shel halachos. He will come and he will be able to expound on every detail of these crowns, multitudes and multitudes of halachos. Omar Lefonov, the Almighty said, excuse me, Meisha said to the Almighty, Ribeinu shel Olam, Hareuli, Master of the World, show me this individual. Meisha was taken aback. Here he went up to heaven to bring the Torah down to Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tying crowns onto all of the letters. And Meisha did not know what the meanings of these crowns were. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that there will be a man who not only will he know the meanings, but he will expound multitudes and multitudes of laws from these letters. So Meisha said, Hareyuli, show me this man. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, go in, I'll transport you into time. And Meisha found himself all of a sudden in a later generation, and he found himself in a Beis HaMedrash, and there was a Rebbe teaching Talmidim. He took a seat near the back of the Beis HaMedrash, and he couldn't understand the shir. A tremendous despondency, a tremendous weakness took a hold of Moshe Rabbeinu. Here, he is giving his life to bring Torah to the world. And later on, there will be a great person that will expound this Torah, and he doesn't understand a word of it. As the discussion and the shir continued, they came to a certain halacha where they asked Rabbi Akiva, this that you say, what is your source for it? And Rabbi Akiva could not pinpoint any particular source in the Torah, so he simply answered that we must say that this is halacha Meisha Misinai, this is a halacha which was given to Meisha on Har Sinai orally bal peh. Nishyashva daitai. When Meisha heard this, then he became very happy, very settled, because after all, they had to come on to Meisha after all. Chozar abolifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omer lefonav ribeinu shel olam, yesh lecha odom kazeh v'ata neisein tera al yodai. And he said, you have such an individual. Why are you giving the Torah through me? You have someone who's greater. Omer lo ishtek. Kach ola b'machshov lefonai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, Meisha, be silent. Don't ask questions. Kach ola b'machshov lefonai. This is what my mind has decreed. The Torah must be given through you. In other words, he meant that the answer to this question is not for you. We see from this Gemara that even though Meisha Rabbeinu was Rabin Shel Kol HaNevi'im, he was the master of all of the prophets. Lokom od Novi Kemeisha, that there'll never be another prophet as great as Meisha. And Meisha was the one who brought Torah into the world. Torah Tzivo Lonu Meisha. Meisha is the one who gave us the entire Torah. And we are all disciples of Meisha Rabbeinu. But still from this Gemara we see the greatness of Rabbi Akiva, that there were facets of Torah that Rabbi Akiva would come to understand that not even Meisha Rabbeinu was able to understand. And Meisha Rabbeinu had questioned, why should the Torah be given through me, given through Rabbi Akiva? And evidently the answer to this question is not so obvious, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu refused to answer Meisha. He said, stay silent. This is what I have decreed. The time of Shavuos was the time of the giving of the Torah. When this Torah came to the world, this Torah, which has so much wisdom in it, and here we see that one of the individuals who came to tremendous heights in Torah, unparalleled heights, was Rabbi Akiva. We also know, the Gemara brings in Masech the Yevamos, and Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, that Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 Zugei Shel Talmidim. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of disciples, 24,000. And they brought Torah to the entire world. Then a great tragedy took place between Pesach and Shavuos. They all died. And V'hoya Olam Shomeim, and the world became desolate from Torah. Until the Rabbi Akiva came to our rabbis in the south, and he started in his old age to teach Torah again, and he taught to the Meir and the Yehuda and the Rabbi Yasi and the Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbi Lezer ben Shamua. He taught to five great disciples Hamidu Torah also shot. And they were the ones who returned Torah to Klal Yisrael. So here we see that not only Rabbi Akiva came to levels in understanding of the Torah, but in the teaching of the Torah, it was his disciples that brought Torah to all of Israel. On the other hand, the Gemara tells us, one of the places where it's mentioned is in the Ovis Reb Nosson, the first perek of Masechta Ovis, and the Mishnah Havishay says Divrehem Betzomei, that Havi Misavik Ba'afar Agleichem, that you shall sit by the dust. If you want Torah, you must sit by the dust, in the dust of the feet of the sages, and you must drink all of their words with thirst. So the Ovis Reb Nosson says Zu Rebbe Akiva, this was Rebbe Akiva. And it tells us that the Bekiva was already advanced in years. He was 40 years old, and he had never learned Chumash, and he had never learned Mishnah. And only then, through the inspiration of his wife Rachel, the daughter of a great philanthropist in Yerushalayim, Kalba Shavua, did he start to study Torah? So it's an enigma. From one aspect, we're speaking about a person that in some degrees came to a higher understanding of the Torah than Moshe Rabbeinu. And from the other aspect, we're speaking about a person that for 40 years was Lekorov Lechona, never learned Chumash and never learned Mishnah. And only then did he start to study. The question is, what was the power of this individual that was able to come from the lowest madrigas of Torah to the highest levels? Now, no doubt, we probably cannot attribute this to one particular quality. There were probably many, many qualities. No doubt his tremendous labor of Torah, like the Ovis Reb Nosson says, that the epitome of Havishesa es divrehem betzomei, that you should drink their words with thirst. Zu Rebbe Akiva, this, the epitome of this was Rebbe Akiva. No doubt that he recognized the tremendous greatness of Torah, which gave him so much lust and ambition to pursue it. And he pursued it under tremendous, tremendous hardships. They were impoverished for many, many years. And no doubt, he recognized the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which allowed him to succeed. And no doubt, he had tremendously pure motives. It must be a collective group of tremendous, tremendous qualities that could motivate and give success, such a degree of success to any person. But perhaps there is another aspect also, which is generally overlooked. It is true that one must recognize the greatness of Torah. And it is true that one must recognize the greatness of the Almighty. But there is another aspect that generally is overlooked, and we find that Rebbe Akiva did not overlook it. And this is what he teaches us in the Mishnah in Masechet Avos. In Masechet Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Hu haya Omer. Rabbi Kiva said, Hu haya means, not he said, he would say. He constantly said. Rabbi Kiva always taught. Choviv Odom, he would say, I want you to understand. He's not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty. He's not talking about Torah. He says, I want you to understand what a Jew is. What is a Ben Yisrael? How dear is a person? Shenivra B'Tselem. Because he has been created in the image of the Almighty. Chiba Yisera No Dasle Shenivra B'Tselem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown man a particular dearness, that he created him in his own image. Shenamar ki b'tzelem elokim osa asa adam, as it states that in the image of the Almighty he made man. Chavivim Yisrael shenikro bonim lamokam. How dear is Yisrael to the Almighty that they are called bonim, they are called sons to the Almighty. He showed to them a special dearness that they are called sons to the Almighty, as it states that you are sons to the Lord your God. Chavivin Yisrael, how dear Yisrael is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenosan lehem kli chemdo, that he gave to them his most precious commodity, his most precious possession, the Torah. Chibur Yisrael edas lehem shenosan lehem kli chemdo. A special endearment he showed to them by giving to them his most precious possession. Shenamar, as it states, ki lekach tov nosati lochem, I am giving you something which is called tov, good. Someone else, if you go into a shop and the seller says it's good, doesn't mean it's 100% good, it doesn't mean it's 50% good. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something is good, it's totally good. And this is what he called the Torah. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem, I am giving you merchandise that's good. Torosi al tazovu, therefore do not forsake my Torah. Now here Rabbi Kiva says three things. And he's not speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's not speaking about Torah. He's speaking about Israel. Firstly, he says that man is very precious in the eyes of the Almighty, because only man was created in his own image, in the image of the Almighty. Then he said, Yisrael is very precious in the eyes of the Almighty, because only Yisrael are called bonim, his children. And then he said that Yisrael is very precious in the eyes of the Almighty, because only to Yisrael did he give his kli chemdo, his most precious possession. So he's not speaking here of praises of the Torah or praises of the Almighty. He's speaking here of praises of the human being, praises of the Jew, that we must recognize what a person is. And first he tells us, if you want to understand what a person is, then you must realize that you're speaking of the image of the Almighty. Now this is a very deep subject, extremely deep. And let's see if we could shed a little light on this evening. in accordance to the explanation of the Maral in his Pirush on Ovis. Several places in the Torah does it state that the Almighty created man in his own image. In Bereshis Aleph Posuk Chof Vav, Vayem Elekim, and Hashem said, Nasa Odom B'Tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu, let us make man in our own image, Kidmuseinu, likened to us, B'Yirdu B'Degas Hayom V'Eif HaShomayim, and he will rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the heaven, uvabehema, and over all of the animals, uvachol ha'oretz, and the entire land, uvachol ha'remes, ha'remes al'oretz, and on everything that crawls on the land. Vayivra lekim es ha'odam b'tzalmai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in his own image. B'tzelem elekim bora isoi, in the image of Hashem, he created him, zohar u'mekeva bora isoi. Male and female, he created them. Another place is a little further in Bereishis Hay, Pasuk Aleph. There Sefer told this Odom, and this is the Sefer, this is the book which tells of the creation and the generations of man, B'yayim B'rei Elekim Odom, on the day that Hashem created man, B'dmus Elekim Oso Osei, when he made him in a likened image to the Almighty himself. Then we have a third place in Parashas Noach. In Noach and Posuk Tes, in Noach Tes, Bereishis Tes, Posuk Vov, here, after the flood, Noach is being commanded on the prohibition of Shfichas Domim, that you're not allowed to murder. Shefich Dam O Odom, Bo Odom Domi Yishofich. He who spills the blood of man, then his blood shall be spilled. Why? Ki b'tzelem elekim oso esa odom. Because man is created in the image of Hashem, because he has destroyed the image of Hashem. This, incidentally, is the posuk which Rabbi Kiva quotes in the Mishnah Novos. So here we have several times in three places where the Torah explicitly tells us that the Almighty created man in his image. Now this, that Rabbi Kiva is telling us, Choviv Adam, Shenivra B'Tzelem Elokim, that man has a special endearment because he was created in the image of Hashem. The Maral says this means that he is more dear, more beloved and dear and greater than the angels. Why? Because what else can it mean? If it means Choviv Adam, how dear man is, more than the animals, because he was created in the image of Hashem. This I don't need the Rabbi Kiva to teach. The great Rabbi Kiva doesn't have to come and teach me that man was more blessed, with more qualities than the animals. This anyone knows? So therefore it must mean that Rabbi Kiva is teaching that man is dearer and more blessed with qualities than all creations of the world, even the malachim, even the angels. And the reason is because the angels were not created in the image of Hashem, while man was. So this shows a special choice, a special endearment. Now how do we understand what it's meant, the image? This doesn't mean he was given a soul, a neshama, even though this is truly he was given a neshama, as it states in the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils part of he himself. But on that, we want to refer this as the tzelem, as the image, as the likeness. And it doesn't refer that he was given a seichel, a tremendous, gigantic intellect, mentality, that no other creations were given. Because also this would not be referred to as the image. So we must be speaking here of an image. On the other hand, we cannot say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an image. This were forbidden to say. Ein leguf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no body, he has no form. So therefore, what does it mean Bitzalmai in his image? On this, there are two levels in which to understand this. Firstly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have an image. This that we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, has no image, this is not 100% correct. He does have an image. This that we're not allowed to say, to attribute any image to the Almighty, this is a physical image. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is not physical. Physical images cannot be attributed to Hashem. But an image that would be abstract, that would be separated from any physical essence, this the Almighty has. What do we mean by this? The Almighty has, he has powers, he has qualities, he has an essence, he has a metzius, an essence, he has keches, he has powers, he has midas, he has qualities. These qualities, these forces, are totally abstract from anything physical, because the Almighty is not physical. But if you would take these same qualities, the same essence, the same forces, and we would bring them into a physical world, the principle would be the same. Force would be the same. Except we would bring it into a physical world and apply it accordingly. We would give it a physical garb. Then you would have a physical image. If you abstract, if you remove anything, everything physical from it, then you would have that same image, but what is totally abstracted from the physical. We'll give you an example. The Almighty is a melech, he's a king. Not only is he a king, he's a king to the greatest degree. Because what is a king? A king is a ruler. All kings rule over something, but there are also things that they don't rule over. So they're not, their kingship is not total. The Almighty, he's the Melech Malchei Amalochim. He rules over everything. There is nothing in creation that is not under his sovereignty. So therefore, not only is the Almighty a king, he is the ultimate in what a king is. That's a quality. Now he wanted to give from his qualities to man. He made man a king also. Man is called Melech B'Tachtenim. He said, you be king over the earth. I am Melech B'Elyonim, I will be kings in the higher worlds, and you rule this world. So he made man as a king also. Now if we would give a physical image to the quality of kingship, for example, ask a child, draw me a picture of what you think a king should look like. See, he'll draw someone who is tall and straight. If you ask the child, draw me a picture of a servant, see, he'll draw someone bowing down. Now this child has drawn abstract principles, but he has clothed it in a physical, in a physical world, from a physical aspect. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. This quality, his own image of kingship, he wanted to give to man. So physically he made man upright, where he stands straight and he walks upright. Now, do not look at this as something light, because only to man did he give this and no one else. There is no other creation that stands upright. All other creations either crawl or they lay down. They don't walk and they don't stand straight. And this is because he said, Nasa Odom, I want to make man b'tzalmenu. I want to make man in my image, and only man. I am a king, you shall be a king. I'm abstract from, I'm not limited to anything that's physical. I'm beyond the physical world. You're limited to the physical world, so therefore your form is going to have to take shape in a physical form. The Nochosh, the serpent, the Torah tells us, stood upright. The sages tell us that in the beginning of creation he stood upright. The serpent. Why? Because before the hate, before the great sin, when they were chased out of Gan Eden, before then, the serpent also was made a king at that time. He was made Melech HaChayas, king of all of the animals. Therefore he stood upright. But he rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him. He says, I shall destroy you. No longer will you be a king. It's interesting to note. He took away his legs, not only that he had to crawl on all fours, but he had to crawl on his belly, where he crawls lower than all of the other animals now. In other words, he demoted him to a greater servant and a slave than anyone else. It's interesting to note that the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon writes in a place that the highest form of animal is the kof, the monkey. This is the highest form of animal, and because he's the highest form of animal, right before this great creation of man, he tries to emulate man. So it's interesting to note that the monkey tries. He tries to walk on 2 feet. Tries to stand upright, but keeps falling. Because this was given only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Excuse me, only to man. And this is why in that pasuk it states, that we shall make man B'tzalmeinu kidmuseinu, in our image. V'yodu v'dgas hayom v'eif hashomayim, he will rule over all of the fish of the sea, all of the birds, the animals, everything on the earth. What is the relationship between the two subjects in the pasuk? That I am making you like I am. I am a king, you shall be a king. Except you shall be the king of the land. And therefore you will rule over everything in the land. That's one example of the image. Another example. The Almighty has the quality of emes, truth. Not only the quality of emes, but ein amitosai. There is no truth like the truth of the Almighty. The banner, the emblem of the Almighty is truth. Now this is totally an abstract principle. And then there's sheker. There's lies and deceit. If we would want to draw a physical picture of truth, and a physical picture of something which is not true, how will we do it? Truth represents something that's straight, yosher. Deceit represents something that's crooked. So a straight line would represent, that would be a physical picture of truth. A crooked line, a line that's crooked in many places, that would be a physical picture of deceit. This is another reason why the Almighty created man straight. He said, I'm going to give you from my image. My essence has the quality of truth, so I'm going to make you also a person of truth. And physically he created him with this quality of truth, physically. Therefore he stands upright. It's interesting to note that the Nohesh, the serpent, he came to Chava, to the first woman, with sheker, with deceit. Calls him, he was Orma, we call Achayas, he was more cunning than all of the animals. He lied to Chava. He says, eat, and nothing will happen to you. It's good, take it. Not only were his feet taken away from him, and he had to crawl on his belly, right, in the dust of the earth, but also he's a totally crooked creature. If you ever look at the serpent, you won't see him straight. He's all crooked, and he goes crooked, he walks crooked, doesn't go in a straight line. Serpent doesn't go in a straight line, goes crooked, because in the beginning of those days he destroyed the quality of truth. And therefore his image became an image of sheker, of deceit. We can give another example. The Almighty has a power of sight. He sees. He sees what's going on. It states that not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu see everything in the world, but he sees, and then he considers what has to be done and taken care of, and he does it. So he's a Raya u'mashgiach. He looks, and he takes seed and he does. There's a pasuk in Parshas Ekev, near the end of Parshas Ekev, that states, "Einei Hashem elekecho bo mereishis hashona ad achris hashona." When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees even more. He looks at Eretz Yisrael in a special way, to see what is being done there and what has to be taken care of. It states the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on Eretz Yisrael from the beginning of the year to the end, And he decides what should be done. Now, it says the eyes. But it doesn't mean that he has eyes. It means he sees. He has this power of sight. But by the Almighty, it's totally spiritual. It's totally abstract from anything physical. This is a power the Almighty has. To see and to do something about it. This power, he wanted to give man. Because it's from his image. Not just to see a little, to see and to understand and to be able to do something about it. So he gave to man. What form did it take? It took the form of two eyes. That's physically clothing the abstract power of sight. Or, for example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is strong. He's a Balkeach, he's strong. Many times the Torah illustrates his strength. How? Hayod HaChazoko. That he destroyed Egypt with that his strong hand. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have a hand. It's not limited physically. But the principle of strength is there in an unlimited sense. If that's his image, he wanted to give it to man. By man, it took the form of a yad, of a strong hand. The Nevi'im, the prophets, when they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they couldn't see him, but they saw his principles, they saw his qualities, they saw his wonders, they saw his strengths. So they expressed it in this manner. They expressed it as if it would be lovush, as if it would be garbed with a physical mantle, even though this is not what they saw. And this we have many illustrations of, and one is in the beginning of Yechezkel. Yechezkel saw the Almighty, saw the Almighty's throne. So he said, "Valakisei demus kemara odom." He saw on the throne a form like a man. This is how he expressed it. They couldn't see the Almighty, but they could see various powers of his, various wonders. So they expressed it as if he would be physical. Man is physical, these same powers were given to man, and they took this physical form. Now, here we come to a very important point. Most popular opinion is that man was given a soul, and that is bilti gashmi. That's abstract from anything physical. That's from the Almighty. This is true. But the human body, the physical human body, has nothing to do with the Almighty. See, man was made. He was made physically from the dust of the earth, spiritually. Vayipach ba'apov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils a nefesh, nishmas chai, a live soul. So usually we think that the soul is spiritual, the body is physical, but the body that's physical has no relationship to the Almighty. It's true that the soul is physical and the body is physical. But what is not true is the physical body definitely has a relationship to the Almighty. As we see from here, every part of the physical body was created because this is the spiritual image of the Almighty. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave many of his own qualities to the individual. By he, they are abstract from anything physical. But in man, he had to clothe it physically. These are all of the parts of the human body. So this means, not that the soul has to do with the Almighty and the physical body has nothing. That also is in accordance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. this is, besides what we're saying here, this is also proven from a Gemara and a Medrash. The Gemara near the end of Makkos says, the Medrash says it a little more explicitly, there are 613 mitzvahs. Ramah says 248 positive commandments. Shasa Leisa says 365 negative commandments. Why? So it says, Ramah essays Keneged HaYavorit, 248 positive commandments, because there are 248 different organs in the human body. So one mitzvah correlates to each organ. And Shasa Gidin, and there are 365 tendons in limbs in the body, and this correlates to the negative commandments, one negative commandment for each tendon. So we see that man was not put together physically because in such a fashion he functions better. We see that the architecture, the engineering that went behind the physical image of man was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because this is the image of the Almighty, and these are the 613 mitzvahs. And this is what Eve exclaimed in Perek Tes Chov Vov, Umibsori Echazer Elekai Eloka. From examining my own flesh, I can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can see the Almighty. Umibsori echezer eloka. That if a person wants to know the makeup, the qualities of the Almighty, then let him examine the human body with wisdom. And if he's great enough in wisdom, he'll be able to understand and recognize the Almighty from his own human body. We said that there were two levels of understanding in this image, in this Selim. And this is one. Now we'll go a little further. The Almighty gave from his image to man, from he himself to man, in his physical makeup. Besides what we said before, which is all true, that his own principles, his own qualities, he built physically into man, there's another aspect of the Almighty's image, and that is the essence of the Almighty's image is that of light, or not a physical light, but a spiritual light. Why do we say this? It must be like that. Because Shlema HaMelech King Solomon in Mishlei said, Ki Torah Or, Ki Ner Mitzvah Ve Torah Or. A mitzvah, it's like a candle. Torah is like light. We'll explain in a minute what this means. But he says, if you want to describe the essence of a mitzvah, it's a candle. You want to describe the essence of Torah, light. He had no other way of describing the essence of Torah except or light. And there's nothing that's more a part of the Almighty than his Torah. This is his Kli Chemdo, his most precious commodity. And the Torah, Hu Uretzeinai Echotu, is one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is his will. Kuchibrichu Ve'arai Sechadu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah is one. Torah is just a manifestation of the Almighty's will. So if Torah is the essence of light, and there's nothing more attached to to the Almighty than Torah, then the Almighty also must be an essence of light. Again, not physical light. If you look at the Torah, you don't see any physical light, a spiritual light. What is the meaning of this? We see a principle in this world that the more physical something is, the less light prevails in it. The less physical something is, the more detached something is from a physical essence, the more light prevails. For example, what is the most physical entity in this world? The earth. In the earth there is no light. Go into the earth. Go into a cave. You'll see total darkness. If you move away a little away from the earth, you'll get a little more light. If you'll move into the atmosphere, there will be more of a radiance of light. More light will prevail. If you come to the gases, to fire, there'll be more light. That's the principle. The more physical something is, the less light prevails. The more detached something is from the physical quality, then the more light prevails. The higher you move up into the heavens, the more detached you're coming from the physical levels of the physical world. What's the highest? This is the sun. So the sun is the most detached from the physical levels of the earth. And the sun is all light. Not only it's all light, it's the source of all physical light in the world. And this is why the Almighty created it first, Vayhi Or. Now that's all in the physical plane. Therefore, this leads us to say that the more spiritual something is, the more light will prevail. So if you have something that is elevated from the physical world, even higher than the sun, the more light will prevail. Except then, since we're speaking on a spiritual plane, we're no longer speaking of a physical light, we're speaking of a spiritual light. This is why Torah is Or. Because the greatest power in the world that we have, that's detached from all physical world, is Torah. Therefore it has to be Kula Or, all Or, light. And this is why the Medrash says the Torah was kept in the Oren HaKodesh, a special ark, Amai Nikro Oren. Why was it called an Oren? Shikula Or, from the word light, because it housed in it something that was all light. A mitzvah is not all light. Why? Because a mitzvah can only be fulfilled on this world through physical functions. You want to take an esrog, fulfill the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, so you have to get yourself a lulav, which is physical, and an esrog, which is physical, and you have to take it into your hands, which is physical. You want to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, you have to eat matzah, you have to get flour, you have to bake it. You want tefillin, you have to come get an animal, you have to shecht it, and you have to take its hide, make parchment, and so forth. So therefore a mitzvah is not all light, because it has to be fulfilled through the physical world, and the physical world is not all light. So therefore a mitzvah is like a ner, it's like a candle. A candle also is not all light, because a candle is possible only if you have the candle, if you have the oil, you have the vessel that's holding the oil, you have the wick, then you have light. Therefore, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, said that kiner mitzvah. A mitzvah is a light which is intertwined with physical elements, like a candle. Torah, but the essence of Torah itself, the Mishnah that speaks of the wisdom of Lulav and Esrog, or of Matzah, or of Tefillin, the principles and the Chochmah, the wisdom of Torah, that's not like a candle. That's all. That's like light itself. That's totally abstract. Therefore, if this is the case, then the Almighty for sure must be the ultimate of this spiritual light. And this is the essence of His image. All light. Because He's totally detached and divorced from any limitations of physical world. And the more physical something is, the less light prevails. The more detached something is from the physical world, the more light prevails. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we say Torah's Or, the Almighty's Or, He's light. And the spiritual world is Olam Haba, the world to come. The Olam HaElyon, the higher worlds, these are spiritual lights. Now the Almighty said, let's make man, I want to make man in my image. Chiba Yisera, I have a particular love for this creation. I don't want to create him from other qualities, I want to give him my qualities. So besides all of the other qualities we gave him, if the essence of the Almighty is light, this means then that in this image, He's going to give him an image of light. This is why on man is found a ziv and a pe'er, a radiance, a shine. This radiance, this shine, this comes from the Almighty, from the Almighty's image. Now the truth is, everything that He created, there is a degree of radiance on. And that's what is meant in the next to the last Mishnah in Masechet Ovis states Kol Masha Bora Kodesh Boruchu Ba'ilomai, everything what the Almighty created in His world, He created for His honor. Everything He created illustrates and declares His honor. As it says, Kol Anikro Bishmi Lefeidi Borosiv Yotzaltiv Afosisov, that I created everything to radiate my honor. So everything that's living that He created, there's a degree of shine, of radiance. But this is a very small degree compared to man. Man, He gave him part of His own image, His own essence, and He gave him this light. This light, this radiance, this is found in man in totality. But the greatest proportion of this light went onto man's face. Because light always represents something that is. Darkness represents something that's not. And everything is dark, can't see it anymore. It's as if it's not there. Well, for example, you go into darkness, always represents something that's void, empty. States Gehenim is darkness. What is Gehenim? Gehenim is an abyss of emptiness. See? Light always represents something that is. And the part of man that identifies man and that tells us who is he? What makes one man different from another? Why is Reuven not Shimon and Shimon not Reuven? This identity is told from his face. It's the face of man that gives him his own identity, his own individuality. So it represents what and who he is. And therefore the majority of this shine, this radiance, is found on man's face. Now with this, we can understand many Gemaras, many words of the sages. For example, Gemara brings Baba Basra Daf Nun Ches Omer Aleph. Gemara there is speaking about graves. And then they start to speak about Moris Machpelah, the cave of Machpelah. And someone went down to the cave of Machpelah, and there Odom Arishon, the first man and woman, are buried there. And when he came back, they asked him, "What did you see?" This was one of the rabbis of the Gemara. "What did you see?" He said, "Nistakalti b'shnei akovim shel Odom Arishon. I looked at the two heels of Odom Arishon, of the first man, v'hoyo kishnei galgalei chamo, and they were like the two balls of the sun." The two heels of Odom Arishon was like the two fiery, great balls of the sun. Now what does this represent? The heel of the person, the sages always refer to as the Sefer Odom, the end of the person. Just like he has a reish, he has a head. The head is considered the top of the person. There is the brain, the intellect, the recognition of man, and so forth. The heel is always represented as the Sefer Odom, the end of the person. And this light that we're speaking about, that is so great on the face of the man, is the least, is the most minimal on the heel of the person. Very little radiance on the heel. Usually it's clothed in darkness. Usually it's covered with a shoe. And another reason can be, is because by the heel is his attachment to the earth. Man is a dorimato, he lives here, cannot fly in the heavens. What keeps him attached to the earth is heel. And the earth is all dark. So the place of the most minimal light is the heel. He said, "I looked at the two heels of the first man, and the light of his two heels was as great as two suns." This is how great Itzelem Elokim, the image. Odom Arishon was created, was not a Yelud Isha, he was not born, he was created by the hands of the Almighty himself, therefore he had to be perfect. Gemara tells us, Gemara lists, in Masechet Megillah lists, who were the most beautiful women of all of creation. So at least three or four, Sora, Esther, there's a discussion, and so forth. Tosfos asks, why don't they list Chava, the first woman? The sages say that Sora next to Chava was Kekefei Tzolodom, was as imperfect as a monkey next to a man. This, so he says, because they're speaking about women that were born, not women that were created by the hands of the Almighty. So this gives us an idea of how perfect Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, were. And when he said, "Let us make him in our image," this was the light that he had. The light of his two heels were greater than two gigantic bodies of sun. Why did he say two? To teach us something. that Adam HaRishon was greater than the sun. Had he said was as great as one body of sun, one ball of sun, this means he was equal to the sun. He was greater than the sun. Man has the potential to be more powerful than the physical sun. Why? Because the physical sun, with all of its light, is only physical. Man is Betzelem Elokim. Man was given light from the Almighty, which is higher than the sun. And this is what the Medrash says. Or HaKovev Shel Odom Mekaihe Galgel Achamo. That the light of even the heels of the of Odom, of the first man, dims the light of the sun. This is why Yeshua was capable of commanding the sun to stand still. Now this image of Adam diminished tremendously through the generations because of the chatoim, the sins and the imperfections of man. But now there's another Gemara. Gemara tells us in B'Metzia Pei Dalet Amal Aleph, Shufra de Yaakov me'en Shufra de Adam HaRishon. Yaakov Avinu, Jacob, was a very handsome man. He was a very perfect man. And so handsome that the Gemara says that the radiance from Yaakov's face, from Jacob's face, was like the radiance of Adam HaRishon, of the first man, to the face. This was his radiance. Yaakov was the Bechir Shem Ovis. He was the perfection of the Ovis. Because it took three generations to create Yaakov, Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Avraham with all of his great strength and qualities, but he could not give birth to 12 sons, to 12 Shvatim, to 12 tribes. Gave birth to Yishmael also, to Yitzchok and to Yishmael. Yitzchok with all of his greatness, but he gave birth to an Esav too. It was only Yaakov, after Yaakov came into being, that his 12 sons became Klal Yisrael. He created the Bnei Yisrael, and therefore he was known as the perfection of the Ovis. Ish Tam Yeshiva Olim, the perfect man who dwelled in the tents of Torah. He came to a perfection in Torah greater than any other person. If this is the case, if he was perfect, and he came to perfection of Torah greater than anyone else, there was no imperfection in him, because if there was, then it would have shown in his seed. And there was none. Then he reached the heights of the Tzelem Elokim, of the image of Hashem that was given to Adam HaRishon. So now we understand what the sages say, Shufra de Yaakov ki Shufra de Adam HaRishon, the radiance from Yaakov's face was like the radiance of Adam HaRishon, the first man. And that's why when he was sleeping and dreaming, and there was a ladder and angels coming down and going up, and the Gemara in Chulin says they were going up and they were looking at the throne of Hashem, and on the throne of Hashem they saw this image, and they came down and they looked at the face of Yaakov and they saw the same image. And they held that a man from an earthly man had stolen the image of the throne and they wanted to kill him. Hashem Nitzor Valover HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to stand over him to guard him. This is why Vayeovik Ish Imah, he wrestled with an angel, and Vesarisa Imalakim Imadam Vimanoshim, he wrestled with someone like the Almighty. He wrestled with angels and he wrestled with men, and he was victorious. He was greater than an angel, because an angel was not given this image, and he was. And this is why the angel asked him after all of this, he said, what is your name? He said, Yaakov. Why was he called Yaakov? He was called Yaakov because of the heel. Because when he was born, he was holding on to the heel of Esav. So therefore they called him Yaakov. He said, that's not a name for you. The heel. That's the end of the person. That's the person with the least of the... That's the place of the person with the least of the image, with the tzelem. He says, you will not be called... But Yikra Shimcha Yaakov, you will not be called Yaakov anymore. Kim Yisrael. Yisrael. Yisrael is begolui. It's not concealed in darkness. Yisrael is open and light. You're a tsar, a king. And you were victorious. And you saw Hashem. Upon him, you saw Hashem revealed. Then there's another Gemara. Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Og Melech Haboshen Mei Sorech L'Shemer Min Achborim. There was a great king amongst the nations of the world. A very, very fierce and strong king. His name was Og. He was the king of Boshen. Moshe says, if he dies, when he dies, you have to guard him from the mice. That the mice shouldn't come and eat him. See what happens to a person? A fierce king that all the nations trembled from. And when he dies, you have to guard him from the mice. Tinaik ben Yumai, chai, in a tzorek l'shem remin achbor. A child, not a child, a baby, that's one day old, you don't, and it's alive. You don't have to guard from mice. This is an enigma, a phenomena. A great king, you have to guard from mice. A baby one day old and it's alive, you don't have to guard. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want you to be a king. And therefore I give you from my kingship. I'm a king. I make you a king. I give you from my image. And when you're a king, you will rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the heaven, and all of the animals, and everything, everything in the world will be afraid of you, because you will be the king of this world. But for when do I give you my malchus? When do I give you my image? As long as you're alive. Once you die, then it comes back to me. Instantaneously, once you die, it comes back to me. This is why we see a person is born, a tinek ben yema, a baby is born 1 minute old, has a color, a radiance on the face. A person dies 1 minute, 1 second after he dies, the face turns a deathly paleness, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken back his image. And that's why when a person is alive, he stands upright. The minute he dies, he falls. There'll be a time that even everyone, even man, will bow to me, every man, and that's when he dies. He bows to Hashem. He gives his malchus back. He gives his kingship back. Therefore, Og Melech HaBoshen, no matter how fierce and strong a person was when he's alive, the minute he dies, he's no king anymore. See, even the mice are not afraid of him. So, you're going to have to guard him from the mice. But Tinaik Ben Yumachai, a baby that's 1 day old and is alive, you don't have to guard him. Because now he has the image of Hashem. And the whole world is afraid of that. The fact is, the Chazal tell us that if man would be in his proper height, at his proper level, then he would rule over all that's in the world. He wouldn't have to fear from any animals or anything in this world. It's only because that through his sins he loses his height. It's diminished. So therefore, Many animals are afraid, but some are not afraid of it. Then there's another Gemara. The first perek of Brochas, Davova Vebeis, Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lezeimer. Kiven shenitzrach odom lebriyes, tonov mishtanim. Once a person has to go and ask people, ask a person for money, for a loan, or for a stock of a grant, nishtanaponov. The color of his face changes. The radiance of his face changes. This is what the Gemara says. Kiven shenitzrach odom. Shenitzrach odom lebriyes. Once a person has to come on to others, ponov mishtanim. Color of his face changes. Why? Because the person has this radiance, because he has captured in himself the image of Hashem, because he's a king like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A king is independent, a king rules. If you have to come unto other people, you have to become dependent on other people, your kingship has fallen. It's fallen a bit. So you're no longer a king. So the image of Hashem, some of it has gone away temporarily. Therefore, in Ishtane Ponov, his face turns colors. He's losing this radiance. And now one other Gemara. Gemara says in Bamutsiya Daf Nun Chesam Abayis, Kol Amal Bin Ponov Pnei Chaveirei Ein Lechelek Leila Mabo. If you insult someone publicly, you insult someone publicly, where the injury, the insult, the embarrassment is so great that his face becomes pale. Malbin, it becomes pale. And lechelek leila mabo, you lose your, heaven forbid, you lose your portion in the world to come. The Gemara says it's kishefik dam. It's like you shed blood. You're a killer. Gemara says, why is it like shefik dam? Because you see that the color, the redness in his face goes away and he becomes pale. This is why it's like shfichas domim, like spilling of blood. Now, the Gemara does not mean, the Maral explains, that we're speaking of a physical spilling of blood. Because just because the blood momentarily leaves his face and he grows pale, why should that be shvihas domim, spilling blood? He'll return and he'll live. Gemara means something else. The Gemara means that it's kishvichas domim, it's like spilling of blood, because you are destroying the tzelem elokim. You are destroying the image of Hashem. Because when you insult him, you have shamed the image of Hashem. And this is why the color leaves him, the radiance leaves him. So you have just shamed and destroyed a part of that image of Hashem. Why is this called shefek dami? Why is this called spilling of blood? Because why was the Torah so severe with its punishment when one man kills another? It's a severe punishment. A murderer is put to death. This is what the Torah says. If he's proven that he's a murderer, and it was first degree, then he must be put to death. Why? Not because he killed physical man. That's a mistake. If killing physical man would require the death penalty, then we might be able to say that if you kill a physical animal, it should also require the death penalty.
kill the physical life? Aye, but man has a greater physical life than animal. But it's all life. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah says differently. The Torah says in Parshas Nayach, Shefech dam odem ba'odem domi yishofech, that if you kill a man, the murderer must be put to death, ki betzelem elekim oso eso odem, because he has destroyed the image of Hashem. Because betzelem elekim oso eso odem, because man is my image. I gave that to man and you have destroyed it. It's not true to say that a murderer is put to death because he killed physical man. If that would be the case, we could argue that physical animal also, because it's all life. But the reason the Torah gives, ki bitzelem elekim oso as adam, when you killed physical man, you have destroyed me. You have destroyed my essence that I placed in man. Therefore you are put to death. Now it's very good what the Gemara says. Gemara says, Amalbin es penei chaveira barabi, that if you insult someone publicly to the point where he grows pale, then he loses his portion in the world to come. The Gemara says, why? It's kish shefich domin. It's like murder. Why? Ki ozul sumki vosachimiri. Because the color, the redness goes away and the paleness comes. Not that it's physical killing, but you have infringed, you have injured my image. The proof that you injured my image is because this aura, this radiance has disappeared. And that's the reason why a shefech dam, a murderer, is put to death. And why does it say in lechelik leila mabo? Because we mentioned that this light that comes to man, that's part of the essence of the Almighty, this is the spiritual light from the non-physical worlds, from worlds beyond here. And this is Olam Haba. The world to come is also this light. And since this person has come, and he has shamed, and he has disgraced the image of Hashem and a person to the degree where he has publicly insulted him to the point where he becomes pale. So this shows that this person is totally contrary to this spiritual light of Hashem. And therefore he has nothing to do with world to come, because that's also the light from higher worlds. So we have two levels of understanding. What does it mean, that he made man in his image? Firstly, Kodesh Baruch Hu had great plans for the human being that he didn't have for any other creations. I'm not interested merely in a physical functionary. I'm interested in creating someone who has all of my qualities. Just like I have these qualities abstract of anything physical, but they'll have to take a physical form in you because you're a physical man. Therefore, I make him as a king like I am. So physically he's built like a king. I give him the quality of truth. So physically he's built with the quality of truth. Straight. I give him the quality of to see and to understand. He's given eyes. He's given strength, yad chazok, and so forth and so on. Secondly, if I'm going to give him from my essence has in it the essence of light, like we explained. Has to be, have the essence of light, of a spiritual light. So the spiritual light I will place into his physical entity. all over, but in particular on his face. So therefore man was created with all of these principles, and with a ziv, with a shine, with a radiance. God also says, Chochmas Adam Teir Ponav. The wisdom comes out in his face. And this he gave to Adam Arishin, to the first man, in perfection. But the generations afterwards, because of their downfall and so forth, they lost it to a great, great degree. Then again it was Noach brought it back. And then it was lost to a great, great degree. Until finally Avraham Avinu came. Avraham Avinu was called Or. The Medrash by Yozu Avraham. The light of the world was called Avraham Avinu. And he started to rebuild it. And then Yitzchok, until finally Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu brought it back to what it was in its original state, Shufra de Yaakov, Kishufra d'Odom Arishon. The radiance of Yaakov was like the radiance of the first man. And he gave it to the Bnei Yaakov, the children of Yaakov. And who are the Bnei Yaakov? This is the Bnei Yisrael that received Torah on Har Sinai. Now, Rabbi Kiva teaches, it's important to recognize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. It's important to recognize what Torah is. It's important to recognize what the world is. But even more important is to recognize what you are. You are not just some physical creation. There's a grasshopper, there's a bird, there's an animal. See, you're another level. No! That's not what Rabbi Kiva taught. But he said, who are your Omer? He would always teach, Choviv Odom. You must realize the particular endearment that you have. Shenivra Betzelem. Because you were created in the Almighty's own image. No other creations were given this. You were taken out and given this. Kiba Yesera Nedaslo. He showed a particular endearment, Shenivra Betzelem, where he created you in the Tzelem, as it states, Ki Betzelem Elakim Osa Sevodom. Do you know what it means that the Rebbe Kiva said? That man is created in the image of Hashem. It means that all of the qualities that the Almighty possesses, you possess. If you possess all of the qualities that He possesses, this means you can move worlds. And this is true. Medrash says the light of Adam Arishon of his heels dimmed the light of the sun. And this is why Yeshua was able to rule over the sun. This is the potential that He has given to man. And in particular to Yisrael, the Selim is found by every man. But the perfection of it is found by Yisrael. And therefore Yisrael are called Bonim. They are called His sons. Bonim Lashem Elokeichem Atem. Why? Because they are from Him directly. They carry His own qualities, His own image, His own light. And because of this, He gave to Yisrael the Kli Chemdo, His most prized possession. He gave them the Torah, which He gave to no one else. Why is this His most prized possession? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu testifies on the Torah,
Ki lekach tov nosati lochem. It is kula tov. It is all good. Therefore, teirosi al tazevu. Do not forsake my Torah. Perhaps this was one of the reasons why Rabbi Kiva was capable of coming from one of the lowest levels of Limud HaTorah, of the study of Torah, that he was 40 years old, that he never learned Chumash and he never learned Mishnah. And not that he learned a little, not that he became eventually, this was together with his wife Rochel, we cannot leave her out, because when he came back with his many disciples and she came to meet him, and she was dressed in rags because they were impoverished and he went away for so many years, and his lieutenants wanted to push her away, he said, no, the law, what belongs to you, all the Torah that you have and all the Torah that I have comes from her. And he came back with 24,000 disciples that brought Torah to the world. When they all perished and he was an old man, he didn't give up, but again he went to teach Torah. And he raised up 5 of the greatest rabbis of the Mishnah who brought Torah back to the world. And he himself came to levels of understanding Torah that Moshe was not able to. And Moshe was wondering to the Almighty, why are you giving Torah to me, through me, if you have a man like that? From such a level, he came to such a level. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why he was able to. Because he understood what is the human being. That the human being possesses all of the powers of the Almighty himself. And therefore has unlimited potential. Unlimited potential. And from here he could understand that there were no levels that were beyond his reach. We should all be zeicher to have a Chag Sameach, a Chag Matan Torah. We should receive the Torah again this year with Simcha and with good health and Nachas. And we should see the crown of the Torah return to Klal Yisrael and return to the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.